fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend. I want to talk today about grace. Grace, the gift of God, God's mercy, God's grace toward us. We're approaching in this next year. Pope Francis has set aside the year for it to be a year of mercy. And mercy is an expression of God's grace given to us. And I'd like to just touch on some passages this week that talk about it, because it's so important for us to see that the most important thing in each of our lives is what God has done for us, not so much what we're supposed to do for God. We spend a lot of time thinking about what we think we're supposed to do for God, or what we know we're supposed to do for God, you might say. And oftentimes we're discouraged because we don't live up to what we hope we can do for God, and we get caught up in that whole world and can relate to our Christian life as a kind of life of moral striving and a constant attempt to perfect ourselves in some way. Like Christianity is about me working hard to perfect myself. And if we're not careful to present ourselves perfect before God, it's very easy to fall into a trap like that. It's not at all what Christianity is calling us to. We're being called to perfection. Be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. But it's not a perfection we can produce on our own strength. And that's a good thing to know. It's very important to know that. The Christian life is a life of grace. It's a gift of God. It's a life in the Holy Spirit. And the perfection and the holiness that we're called to, that we all fall short of in this life, which indeed we're called to pursue and to seek to obey the Lord, but to do it in His strength. The reason we can rejoice that we will reach perfection, that we're going to reach that holiness without which no man, no woman could ever see God, is because Jesus is the perfect Son. He's the one who has dealt with everything that stands in the way of our ability to be able to step into what God has made us to be. His sons and daughters completely abandoned to Him and living in His love and living in obedience to Him and finding our identity in that, not resisting it, but finding our home there, our home in the heart of God. Jesus is committed to presenting each of His disciples perfect before the Father. It's Jesus' job in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the gift, the promise that He said would be sent to us, and the promise would give us, we would be clothed in power, He said, for us to be able to live a new way of life. Jesus has made each of the baptized, everyone who've surrendered their hearts to Him and entered the waters of baptism, He's made His home in us. And the reason we have hope for the future is not because of all the natural resources I have or my personality, my strength, but because the King has made His home in me and He's made His home in you. And if you're listening today and you don't know Christ, you've never been baptized, you've never become a Christian, this is the essence of the Christian life, and that is, in the person of Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, the human race has the capacity and the power to become a new creation, to become something splendidly new, something absolutely beautiful, what God the Father has made us to be in the first place. I want to talk a little bit about that today. St. Paul, in various of his letters, likes to just rejoice in what Christ has accomplished in us and giving us this grace, this gift of new life. I want to start this morning with Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Just a short little section, but it's actually packed with a tremendous amount of truth, of revelation about who we are and what Christ has done. Here's Paul. For the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men, training us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions and to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify for Himself a people of His own who are zealous for good deeds. Again, it's a packed paragraph. And what we see, Paul's declaring a fundamental truth that the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men and all women. God's gift has appeared to us. Paul is speaking as echoes of John the Apostle from his first letter, where he said, that which we have seen, that we have touched, we declare to you that the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. So when Paul's talking about grace and John's talking about the eternal life which has appeared to us, what they're saying is something the world has never seen, something the world could never even conceive of, that there is an eternal God, that God exists, and he's from all time, and he's eternal, and all power and majesty and glory belong to him, and the eternal life that is in God has appeared in human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. That's God's grace, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not die but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is why the Son came. Jesus came to give to us what we need. Jesus came to give us something we don't have and we could never have on our own resources. That is the power and the capacity to live beyond death. Not just to live beyond death, but to enter into the life of God. Jesus came so that we who have fallen from grace, fallen from God's gift of initial, his creating us, he's come to give us a share in what belongs to him. And so Paul's trying to touch that for us and to say, what happened? He said, so the grace of God, that is God's mercy in Jesus Christ, has appeared to us. And that appearance of God's mercy and grace is for the sake of our salvation. We need to be saved. It's God's gift. The gift of salvation is what we call grace. Grace is God's gift to us to bring about what we cannot bring about on our own, which is our salvation. And salvation is what? Being saved from eternal death, being saved from the power of sin, being saved from the world, the flesh, and the devil, being saved from a life that's meaningless, that is full of striving but ends in darkness and death. Jesus Christ has opened heaven and in his own person has revealed to us our origin, our purpose, our destiny. He's not only shown us our dignity, he's not only shown us where we've come from and why we're here, he's actually looking at us and saying, okay, what I'm going to do and why I'm here is I'm not here just to show you who you are. I'm here to give you the power and the capacity to become everything you were meant to be. I've come here to break the hold of the sin and the power of the world and the flesh and the things that cling closely to you, that hold you back, that blind your mind, that constrict your heart, that make you unable to see and have a vast image and vision and understanding of who you are as God's son and daughter. I've come to save you, to bring you home to the bosom of my Father, the place you were made for, the place that in your heart, if you listen to in the quiet of your heart, you have a profound longing for that place of rest, for that place of absolute integrity and integration and peace and belonging. That longing that you seek for in relationships here on earth and things you work at and try to accomplish in this world, they can only touch a portion of that. What you really long for is God himself. Jesus has come to make that known. That's part of the grace that's revealed. Jesus said, I know your heart. I understand your heart. And I want to show you what it is your heart longs for. It's God. It's God's love. It's living in God. And Jesus is saying, I've come to make it possible for you, to give you the power to be able to actually enter into that love. And I promise you, if you lean on me, if you walk with me, if you believe me, I will bring you home to absolute fulfillment. So this is what he means by the salvation of all men. And so Jesus trained us, Paul said, to renounce irreligion and worldly passions. Those things, false gods, false ways of looking at reality, and the passions of our flesh that are always seeking to put ourselves first, to fulfill our lusts, or whatever it is, our anger, bitterness, rivalry, the things that are in the human heart. Paul says to renounce these things that are clearly a part of us that Jesus identifies, and then to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world. So there's a transformation that Jesus begins to work in us, and it's to see clearly what in us resists God and then to renounce it. We call that repentance, called turning our back on it, turning away from it, turning away from that, turning toward God into a life that's upright, living in righteousness and godly, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, who shows us what a godly life looks like. And he said, in this process, as we begin to walk toward God, following Jesus, who unfolds for us and teaches us how to walk. He gives us a whole way of life that leads us home to the Father. He said, as we do that, we're at the same time, he said, we await our blessed hope. It's a beautiful line, our blessed hope. Hope is the confident expectation of the fulfillment of our life. What is set before us is blessing, not a curse, but blessing. It's a share in the victorious life of Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead and lives in glory. So that's our blessed hope. We can see through faith. We can see Jesus through the eyes of faith as he's leading us toward it, that longing for heaven, that sense that we already in some way possess it, and we know where our lives are headed. We know where we're going. We know this ends well for us who are in Christ Jesus. He said, so we await our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The glory of God will appear. Jesus Christ is going to come again in glory, both to judge the living and the dead. And those who are in Christ long for his return. In fact, the spirit that he gives us cries out, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. There's something in our hearts. And if we're in a healthy place as disciples of Jesus, we'll hear that in our hearts. We'll know it. We'll want to cry out ourselves, come Lord Jesus. The return of the Lord is an awesome thing. It's a frightening thing, the day of the Lord. But for those who are in the Lord, it's a day of great joy and great victory, because the foretaste, the promise that we've been given of this sure hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus and our participating in his life has been given to us as a down payment in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee, is the sign of the actual lived experience, the first taste of that eternal glory. He says, Paul goes on to say, and Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us, to buy us out of the condition of iniquity, he said, and separation from God. Because what does Jesus want to do? He wants to purify for himself a people of his own. Jesus isn't just after my personal salvation. Jesus is after forming a people. God made us to be a family, to be his children. Jesus has come to fulfill the Father's purpose for us. He wants a people that's set apart. That's what the people of Israel was all about. God was doing in Israel, and the chosen people was fashioning a people and a way of life and calling them to be distinct and to be holy and to be set apart. They were a sign of what Jesus has come to produce in the whole world. You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are a people set apart by God. And how we cooperate with his grace is we recognize that the Lord wants us to enter into his church, to be a part of his people. I love this line. Paul says, who are zealous for good deeds. Zealous to please the Lord is another way St. Paul talks about it. This is what Jesus wants to spark and ignite in us through the power of the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Spirit, to make it possible for us to long for what is good and to be zealous, to have a determined heart in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit and will to fulfill God's purpose. And even now, this people who the Lord is gathering together, a people purified and set apart for him, are meant to be a sign of his glory for the sake of the salvation of the world. We'll talk about it more tomorrow, friends. I hope you can tune in. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.